May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.
Howdy, howdy. This is the Cosmic Cowboy with Cosmic Love for March 14th, 2020. And today it's my great pleasure to interview longtime journalist and public health expert, John Rappaport. Those who know of John through his blog, nomorefakenews.com, or if you know John only through the brief bio in the show notes today. Believe me when I say that John is one of the most mature voices representing health freedom on the internet. John has been involved with the health freedom movement for decades, and he's done extraordinary work exposing the matrix as a metaphor for false reality that is believed to be true. And in John's collection of writings called Exit from the Matrix, John includes dozens of exercises for the individual to return to his own power and think for oneself. And this is the huge choice facing global humanity now, folks, with the coronavirus pandemonium. I had John on Cosmic Love show 6 years ago during the Ebola panic, and I thought this would be a good time to have him on again. So thank you, John, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
John, over this last month, I've published 5 coronavirus blogs with 26 embedded videos by independent journalists exposing the core issues, and I'm getting the distinct impression that this pandemic is mostly a media event, but the financial collapse is real, and that the coronavirus is being used as the cover story for global economic reset with a new financial system. Is that close to what you see happening, John?
Well, I think it's part of the picture for sure. The global currency reset, I believe, is already in progress and has been for a time. It moves by degrees. But, yes, financial difficulties, temporary severe economic downturn affecting many people, this is certainly part of the operation, and I've been writing for a long time that the virus is the greatest cover story in the world.
Yep.
It's a cover for many, many things. We discussed this actually back in the days of the Ebola panic, as you say.
Yeah,
and it's
still the
case.
The show. Yeah. So, I mean, it seems that the more the public panics, the more the public plays into the hands of, you know, the deep state matrix managers to limit core freedom, censor dissent, force the issue of mandatory vaccines, force the issue of 5G for full spectrum surveillance and population control. Is this is this close to what you're seeing?
Yeah, I think that those are very significant factors, and then you can also include now the cancellation of so many events and venues, and the idea that people in groups should not be assembling together, which of course is one of the core rights guaranteed in the First Amendment, in the Bill of Rights. So what you are seeing is the erosion, the further erosion of freedom, under the rubric of, well, we have to protect everybody. That's why the virus is such a great cover story, because unlike other so-called catastrophes, this one keeps on stretching out in time because people are told, well, you've got to stay home, you've got to self-isolate, you've got to do this thing they're now calling social distancing. Because of the transmission factor of the virus, et cetera, et cetera. So my work, at least in part for probably 30, 35 years now, has been to go back to the very basic questions, such as when a so-called outbreak occurs and we suddenly get an announcement that it is a virus, how did that happen? Who is supposedly discovering this, and what procedures do they use to actually prove that they have discovered a new virus in the first place? And are those procedures really legitimate? And so my conclusion in many cases is that these procedures are not legitimate, and therefore, from the very beginning, the whole idea that the existence of some new virus is a slam dunk is incorrect, and that the researchers being trained in medical school and then after that and trained to believe in certain facts, in quotes, and ways of doing things, they become an army of true believers who will tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. Of course, we found a new virus and isolated it. We know exactly what it is and so on and so forth. But if you construct what would be a reasonable experiment by which they could prove that in the real world, not in the lab, with real human beings, they would balk at that and they would never carry it out, which is the case. And this also applies to the diagnostic tests being widely used around the world to say that people are so-called coronavirus cases, because, you know, how do you say that? How do doctors say it? How do researchers and labs and public health officials claim that a certain number of cases here and a certain number there? Well, either they're just doing what they call presumptive cases, where if a person shows up with flu-like symptoms or pneumonia, they just label them coronavirus cases, which is, of course, ridiculous, or they carry out certain very specific tests. So again, I've gone back and looked at those tests and examined them carefully. And from the sources that I've spoken with and from my own analysis, my conclusion is, yes, once again, these tests are completely inadequate to say that a patient is ill or is going to become ill. Therefore, all of the reports about numbers of cases are not true or they're unproven. And so what we're looking at then is a massive event that is being foisted upon the public, not based on good science at all, with all of these repercussions that we've begun discussing, like economic downturn, financial heavy difficulties, mandating that people should get vaccines when they're available, et cetera, et cetera. All of these things become front and center.
Yeah. Well, I see in the name of health and well-being, you know, in the name of public health, people want to believe, you know, that our highest authorities are truly, you know, interested in our health and well-being, and the system is now very well established that we get there through vaccines and drugs, you know, for pretty much whatever ails you. And I've been looking, trying to look at, you know, from a third-person perspective, you know, objective observer, looking at all this information behind, you know, the public, global, you know, local, you know, ubiquitous mindset that we have a disease that can only be resolved with vaccines and/or drugs to treat the symptoms. When the issue of the immune system, how to build the immune system and what weakens the immune system, so basically we can resist the disease, you know, and be well, takes second seat to treating again the symptoms with drugs that compound the problem with other symptoms that can be treated with other drugs, you know, from cradle to grave. And this is something we talked about back on the show during the Ebola time. I was just listening to it again today. And how it's like from cradle to grave, there's this agenda that in the name of again, health and well-being and what's good for us, a really freaking nefarious agenda of fear porn, you know, and creating like domestic terror to the point where we give up a little freedom for a little security until we have neither, as Benjamin Franklin said. No.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the point that you're raising is, of course, one of the keys, which is the problem that the medical establishment has is that if they wanted to actually increase the strength of the immune system, which is the primary, should be the primary objective here, that's a non-medical issue. So they can't make any money off of it. They can't profit from it. They can't control people by the use of it. They can't have a system that enrolls people from cradle to grave and tries to mandate treatments. They can't do any of that because, again, the basics of health, the strength of the immune system, is not a medical issue, never has been. And so from the earliest times, whenever this is raised, there is genuine concern and fear in the medical cartel that a growing movement of people is going to expose the sham, and not only that, but is going to move over into something much more sensible, which is how do we get healthy, how do we get stronger, how do we make our immune systems more resilient and powerful, as opposed to what disease are they going to diagnose me with now, and how many drugs are they going to tell me I need to take?
Yeah. Well, so this is really one way of looking at it, that this is an existential crisis for big pharma, big media, big brother technocracy. They kind of realize people are waking up and wising up and rising up. You know, the anti-vaxxers and all these different, I call them anti-vaxxers, they're anti-abuse of the medical industrial complex, you know, power without principle. That's the concern. And of course, you know, if ever there was a consensus among the public that strong immune system was the resolution of the crisis, then the whole medical industrial complex would be turned on its head, which is not it's like that would be like preventing their profit model, you know, their business model.
It would cancel it out completely if that were the case. And so another one of the objectives in a situation like this with the so-called coronavirus is to convince people one more time that this is a very, very serious disease. It's spreading around the world, and the only people that you can turn to for help are the medical people.
Right.
So it reinforces that idea one more time, as in each one of these fake epidemics that we've seen over the years, the same pattern, the same motive is behind it.
Yeah.
And so people are programmed and conditioned to expect that. Okay, if something doesn't feel right, I probably have a symptom, and if I have a symptom, I probably have a disease, so I have to see a doctor, and then he tells me what it is, and then I have to follow it. Well, that's everybody's choice. I mean, I'm not here to give medical advice. I never do, but I'm here to report what I've researched and discovered, which happens to be the use of fear in order to drive people into a business model.
Yeah. Well, one thing for sure is that to the extent that people are waking up and wising up and rising up, there's more commeasurement with new science, biological science, that regarding the immune system. And one of my favorite examples is the new understanding of the microbiome and how there, you know, everyone has fungus, bacteria, and cancer virus and coronavirus in their system. Their immune system just keeps it in check. And what the new science is revealing is that that there's 10 times more of these microbes, you know, fungus, bacteria, and viruses than actual cells in the body. I mean, they've identified so far 10 times more, and that even people's feelings or frequencies in their body, in other words, there's like a range of frequencies from fear to faith, you might say. And this is Dr. Hawkins in his, you know, consciousness scale that they use behavioral kinesiology, you know, muscle testing to develop this model after millions of tests, that the lower frequencies actually in the body, and this fascinates me, because it's getting into quantum medicine, you know, the energy factor behind the biochemical factor. It's, you know, everything is energy. And the energy factor of fear creates, you might say, an environment on a cellular level where fungus and bacteria and viruses proliferate. I mean, and the opposite of that is true. The higher frequencies of peace, joy, and love and joy actually creates what's kind of like parasite paralysis. They don't reproduce like the energies, the frequencies of fear and anxiety actually creates in the biological terrain of the body proliferation, which is to say proliferation of these microbes and a weakening of the immune system. So it's like fear is like becomes synonymous with virus, because it causes, you know, it creates an environment in which viruses thrive in the biological terrain of the body. And this new science, of course, is the last thing that the medical industrial complex or big pharma wants to come out, because it gets into the quantum realm, which I think the Aquarian Age will be known as the quantum age. You know, the energetics, you know, the energy of health will trump, excuse the expression, will transcend the paradigm of the chemistry of disease. The energy of health will be, you know, will be more of a preeminent understanding as far as the criteria for health. I don't know.
Well, the truth plays an important role here, because from my perspective, if you know the truth of a situation,
yeah,
where fear is the predominant message,
yeah,
then the fear tends to blow away once you understand the truth. I'll give you an example, because I've been getting flooded with emails ever since I started writing about this coronavirus business.
Yeah.
I guess it's been maybe a month and a half ago. I've been writing about it every day, and people can get my articles at nomorefakenews.com, a website I've had since 2001. So the situation in Italy, for example, people have been asking me about. Well, wait a minute. We've read, interesting articles you've written and so forth, but something's happening in Italy, and what, people are dying, and this, that, and that. And the ICU wards are overburdened in northern Italy, so something has to be happening. So I just wrote an article and published it the other day, and I said, okay, think it through, back up, let's look at this situation. So what they're saying, first of all, is that maybe in several dozen ICU wards in the north of Italy, they're now being overburdened by an additional several thousand people, more than they had before. Okay. So who are these people? We don't know for sure, but presumably they come into the hospital because they have, say, flu-like symptoms or pneumonia-like symptoms and so on and so forth. And so what happens to them? Well, in the old days, before any of this suddenly took off, the doctor would look at them And if the condition was extremely serious, he might say, okay, this patient should go to the general ward. But in many cases, like it or not, the doctor would prescribe a drug and send the patient home. But now many of these people are presumptively diagnosed as coronavirus cases. Well, what do you have to do with those people now? You can't, if you believe in all of this, you see, you can't put them in the general ward anymore because they are, quote, contagious. You have to send them to the ICU. Even though they're the same people or similar people who used to walk in there with lung problems, but now they're relabeled, they're put in the ICU, the ICU can't handle the increased load, and so there's kind of chaos and some panic, and reporters come in with video cameras and take video, and they post it on the news stories and so forth, and that spreads more fear and panic, and then people thousands of miles away are quite sure that something really new and terrible, namely the coronavirus, is what's happening in Italy.
Yeah.
And that doesn't need to be the case at all. Now, if a person sees that and understands that, they can step back, they can take a breath, they don't have to look at this situation through the lens of fear anymore, and they can begin to take it apart, think it through, look at the possibilities, understand how the game is played, which is what I try to educate my readers about, the medical game, and see through the propaganda.
And in the meantime, with the fear porn being ramped up to such an extreme level that toilet paper is disappearing off the shelves worldwide. with that happening, you've got a certain percentage of the public who are, call them hypochondriacs or people with the dissociated body-mind connection, to where fear becomes so real to them that they whack their own immune system, and the coronavirus that they already have in their system or, you know, the viruses they have are activated, and they actually get physically sick and are convinced that they have the coronavirus. And they start showing up on the scene. I mean, that's a certain percentage of them. I don't know what exactly.
Yeah, sure. And then add to that the fear that's caused by people who are not even considering coronavirus, CDC, medical authorities, whatever. All they know is other shoppers are manic, running into markets, pulling everything off the shelves. So I have to do it, too, before it's all gone.
Yeah.
And then somebody sees me doing it, and they say, well, I have to do it, too. And there's that whole business that has nothing to do with anything except, you know, just instinctive reaction. That if you feel like your food supply is suddenly disappearing for whatever reason, then you got to get in muscle in there and get your piece of the action before all the food is gone. I mean, it's completely insane. I was just talking to you off the air before we started. I was in a UPS store this morning, and guy standing there with a big box all taped up that he's shipping to Orlando, and I said, "What's in the box?" He said, "Toilet paper." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "No, there's no toilet paper down there. I'm sending it to, I guess, a family member or whatever." So, and then I started talking to UPS people, and then somebody else came in, similar situation. She's sending pet supplies, I guess pet food, whatever, to some friend in California because they can't find any pet food. I'm thinking, wow, UPS is probably doing a land office business, and FedEx, too, and just, you know, sending toilet paper and paper towels and pet food all over the world or the country or whatever. You know, it's completely insane.
And a lot of people, they don't know anything about, the medical aspects of it. They just look at the economy and what's happening to the economy. And, of course, the natural tendency, it says, is to think, back to the cover story, that, oh, it must be the virus. this virus must be really bad. The virus must be really bad. When
exactly.
the reaction, it's not, you know, even the virus itself. And of course, the way the fear of the virus is being put out, John, I was amazed to see how there was the reports being put out by the news media to frighten the public, saying that the death rate from the COVID-19 coronavirus is 2 to 3% to 3.4%, which a lot of the public thinks this is two out of four people out of 100, when in fact, you know, when they, you know, when public hears 2.3% to 3.4% death rate, that's what they're thinking, when in fact that's only 2.3 to 3.4% of those who are infected.
It turns out that
it goes down to like 0.1% of the infection rate from the actual deaths. But the perception is that it's a very high percentage. A lot of people, they just don't understand, you know, that 2.3% to 3.4 of those who are infected, not of you know. Anyway, it's very confusing.
Yeah, and you can add to that the fact that, say, in nursing homes like the one in the state of Washington, where, oh my God, we have, you know, 16, 23 cases, whatever. These are people that have been there for years and years and years with all kinds of health conditions that have been treated with increasing numbers of toxic medical drugs for years and years and years, you know, extremely weakened immune systems. And then they're told that they have this deadly virus on top of that, right?
Yep.
Based on nothing. And now they're put on ventilators and they're isolated from all of their other friends at the nursing home. No visitors can come in. And they're treated with even more toxic antiviral drugs. And so if they die, they're called coronavirus cases because at the last minute they were diagnosed with the coronavirus, which is completely, again, lunatic, has nothing to do with reality whatsoever.
Yeah, so we're seeing what I call, rather than the placebo effect, it's like the nocebo effect. In other words,
the anti-placebo effect, exactly.
The anti-placebo effect that, I mean, again, back to the old, if a person really thinks they're sick and maybe going to die, for a lot of people it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And, of course, the opposite of this, and we talked about this in our show before, you know, the whole issue with cancer, which is another virus, you know, and that everyone has cancer cells in their body, but the immune system keeps it in check. But again, when the immune system degrades in general, the whole biological terrain degenerates with fungal overgrowth, bacterial, you know, the pleomorphic theory principle, you know, whereby the biological terrain goes fungal, the biological terrain goes, you know, from a fungal to a bacterial to a kind of a viral type, you know, environment in which more of these pathogens, parasites, whatever, would proliferate. And then a person's worst fears comes upon them, you know. And the opposite of the placebo effect of basically whether it's a sugar pill or chemo, if a person really believes, you know, they're going to get better, doesn't matter, their immune system is going to get stronger because they got that energy of, again, faith, hope, and charity, or, you know, joy, enough joy at the higher frequencies to keep the immune system relatively strong, you know, positive, you know, in a positive territory. So whenever I see this kind of, when I say fear porn, it's just like, and it's the media has a vested interest. Most people don't realize that 50 to 70% of mainstream media is underwritten by big pharma.
Pharmaceutical advertising.
pharmaceutical advertising. So they have a vested interest in ramping it up. You know, like they're making a killing, so to speak, for Big Pharma.
Tell you a little story about that. A reporter that I talked to once told me the following. At a major newspaper, they ran a piece that was, you know, negative on the pharmaceutical industry. And it was probably a bit more heavy than usual. It wasn't about one drug necessarily, but it was about maybe, you know, marketing practices throughout the industry, whatever it was. And the next morning, as this reporter was sitting there, in marches a squad, pharmaceutical people, walks into the office, closes the door, the editor's office, and reads the riot act to this guy, the editor, basically saying, we're your advertisers and you're running this story. This is not going to fly. If you want our money, you can't do this. I mean, they made a very blunt case for that situation. So, in my experience, they do this when push comes to shove. But ordinarily what happens is the reporters know what lines they can cross and can't cross. Nobody has to tell them. They understand this. They work their way up through small newspapers, and if they get to a large media outlet and they're hanging on and they're making a living and they want to keep their jobs, they understand the game. They understand what lines they can cross, what lines they can't cross. They are obedient, loyal, faithful to the system, and nothing happens to them. But if they go to their editor and say one day, you know, I've come across a really interesting story here, and it really deserves an investigative piece and this and that and the other thing, and it does cross that line, the editor is going to look at the reporter, and he's going to say, we're not interested. Well, why not? Well, we've covered that sort of thing before. Our readers are not interested in that. It's old news. The sources on it are no good. Whatever the excuse is. And if the reporter doesn't get the picture, that editor is now going to look at that reporter askance in general in a new way. And he's going to think, well, maybe this guy really isn't for us. Maybe he doesn't understand how we do this here.
He may not work out.
may not work out. We may have to let him go. Now, if they let this reporter go, he's going to have a very difficult time finding a comparable job in the industry. So the chances are he's going to sink down to a lesser media outlet with a smaller salary. And he knows this. He doesn't want that to happen, so he's going to shut up and play by the rules.
Yeah. You know, most people just don't know, and I can, my own family members, you know, this real issue, the story and the history. I mean, I've had four holistic health centers over the last 40 years, and I've been in the trenches, and it's kind of self-evident to me, but you know, even my own family and people, you know, that I've been close to and know that, you know, I work with this holistic stuff, building the immune system, that people just don't realize that the whole medical industrial system is largely owned and controlled by Big Pharma. It's not just the most powerful lobby in Congress, maybe next to AIPAC, but it's like twice as big as big oil and big media combined. I think it is two of the major industries. It's like there's twice as much money involved, and the economics and politics are just far more complex than the science. And of course, what we get reported in the mainstream media, which is largely, I found out going back in the 1970s, that the same Rockefeller interests that you know, were big oil, and they put their money into financing 1,100 medical schools across the country with pharmacology at the core of the curriculum, turning out drug pushers ever since. They made so much money on that. There's just so much money in big pharma. I think six of the 10 largest Wall Street, most profitable Wall Street companies are big pharma companies. And there's so much money involved that that it's gone into purchase of the media. The Rockefellers bought controlling interest of ABC, CBS, NBC, and major mainstream media back in the late 70s. I think Eustace Mullins, you know, who is the protege of Ezra Pound, wrote about that extensively in one of his books. You know, he did the book on the Federal Reserve and Eustace Mullins, but we never hear about that aspect of the economics and the politics really running the PSYOP or the running the show. But my understanding is that it's got to the point where people believe religiously in doctors, and we talked about this on our last show, and it's, you know, I'm like an old medical heretic, you know, where I, you know, who's been witnessing, you know, how doctors are like the high priests of medicine with their drug sacraments and their vaccines. And then, I mean, the vaccine inserts, you know, that the doctors get that they never tell you about will show that there's dozens of diseases caused by, you know, side effects that can be caused from the vaccine, and yet they tell the public that vaccines are safe.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
this is, and think about this, which follows directly from what you're saying. When they started to declare that this coronavirus business was first an outbreak, then the word epidemic, and then now the word pandemic, so forth. If you were to turn on your television set or go to the websites of all the major media outlets in the world, you would not find one dissenting opinion.
No.
Now that's, you know, what are the Vegas odds on that? That in all of mainstream coverage, nobody says, you know, I think we ought to wait a minute here, because some questions have arisen. I think we ought to consider these, such as, is this really an epidemic caused by a virus? Because, for example, we know that in the city of Wuhan, where this supposedly all started, a city of 11 million, a gigantic industrial modern juggernaut with a gross national product of $228 billion a year, that there is enormous, unprecedented levels and types of air pollution. Oh, really? I didn't see that. No, you didn't. And, of course, what is supposedly the primary symptom of this new epidemic? Well, it's lung infections, pneumonia, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, well, you could get that from pollution, right? Yes, you could, indeed.
Yes.
In fact, there have been widespread protests in Chinese cities last summer about the foul and very harmful quality of the air.
And yeah, they were wearing masks.
Does not look kindly upon these protests. They want to squash them immediately. This is not something that they are willing to stand for. They're not ready for another Tiananmen Square, not by any stretch of the imagination. And you begin to add all of these kinds of things up. And then also, is anybody in the mainstream media, going back to Wuhan and China again, saying, well, you know, actually, let's see, they're saying that pneumonia seems to be the main sign or symptom of the epidemic now. Well, actually, in China, every year, the best estimates are that 300,000 people die from ordinary pneumonia. This is going back years and years and years and years.
Uh-huh.
Really? I didn't know. Yes. You mean before the new virus came into? Yeah, way before that. Way before that. So, in other words, people could be walking into clinics and hospitals and in China with these conditions that people have been suffering from in China for God knows how long, and now they're suddenly being diagnosed as a coronavirus case. Well, if you read the papers, one thing you will find out is the kind of tests that they're now running in China to diagnose coronavirus. You know what they are? CT scans of the lungs. That's it, baby. That's
CT
all they're doing.
CT scans of the lungs. That's all they're doing.
And if they show lung infections, pneumonia, they diagnose that presumptively as coronavirus. Well, wait a minute. Now, adding up everything you're saying here, that would seem to indicate there's some kind of a con job going on here. And is this not being reported in the mainstream? No, it's not. Not in one mainstream outlet of the untold thousands and thousands of mainstream outlets on television, radio, newspapers.
They're not
websites.
Mentioning that. Yeah.
Nothing. Zero.
And the they were wearing masks over their faces because of the air pollution, you know, for years before this happened.
Exactly.
And
you
and
want to know
because
why they ran out of masks.
because the air was so bad. And then another dimension of this, which is never mentioned in the mainstream media, is that the radiation, that Wuhan was a major rollout of 5G, and that the radiation from that, and supposedly a radio telescope, that's a large radio, some energy, radio energy project with, again, radiation with frequencies, 5G or otherwise, on the edge of Wuhan, which the studies show from what I've been multiple independent sources that this 5G radiation affects the oxygen uptake in the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a effect of a respiratory disease by itself on top of the messed up lungs from the air pollution. And that's
right.
Never mentioned.
Another factor that you're not reading about in any mainstream outlets. Indeed.
Yes. So it's it's an interesting complex of factors that aren't being mentioned that directly implicate, call it a psyop or false flag or misinformation, fake news, that is now so blown out of proportion that as far as most people concerned, it's real.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And the way you started, just to pick up on that, is that people confuse the effect with the cause.
That's right.
So if people are dying, then for most people, that in their minds, they make the equation, therefore it must be the virus. If people are reported as being sick, oh, well, it must be the virus. If this is how it must be the virus. And they keep on with this. Well,
yeah.
if the Chinese locked down 100 million people, it must be the virus. If now in the United States the basketball seasons are over and there's only empty arenas and we can't, you know, go to these venues or that or those venues, well, it must be the virus. No, it doesn't have to be the virus at all. But people make that equation. That's the way they take all of this in.
Well, John, you've been involved with the health freedom movement now for decades. And how do you see this playing out, this movement over the next decade? You know, accepting the premise that this, and I'd like to say that the premise is that this whole psyop is going to be exposed, blown up. People are kind of become aware of the issues because of this, of vaccines. And how it's creating from cradle to grave disease that's being used to be treated with drugs, which, again, have side effects for more drugs, and that this is going to be exposed. Is this, to me, it would be the seeing the opportunity out of the problem, but do you see it moving in this direction?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I hope so. Right now, if you're in the middle of all of this and people losing their jobs and so forth and having personal tragedies, it certainly doesn't look that way. But I do think that when it does, the dust does clear on this, that there will be more people who will look back and point to it and say, you must remember what you thought and felt at the time, as compared with what you see now, looking back on what happened and understanding the truth more clearly and what were the lies that were being told then. You have a duty to understand so that you won't be fooled the next time. And I see hope in that. Yeah. I do see definite hope in that, that there will come to be a greater understanding and then the bridge over into health freedom, because the natural implication out of all of that is, therefore, you have the responsibility and the opportunity to look at your own health, your own body, your own future, your own liberty, your own freedom, your own decisions about what your purposes are in life, and to be the one who makes the decisions rather than having the authorities make all of these decisions for you, that could certainly build once the dust clears and people have a chance to look back and see what didn't happen, what did happen, the lies that were told, the lies that they themselves fell for and accepted and assumed because out of fear, out of ignorance, whatever it was. Yeah, I see opportunity here for sure.
Well, that's a good positive note to end on. I'd like to think that as more people become aware of how good things can be with a strong immune system and well-informed choice, that that the future of that will just be more of the same, you know, and a general enlightenment to the point where we realize that we're in a frickin' dark age, you know, I see this as a 10-year process. I call it Aquarian Spring, you know, we're at the cusp of Aquarius, and it's going to take a few years basically to expose the whole truth and the big lie for what it is, or, you know. And so that's a good note to end on. I'd like to see that happen. And I want to thank you, John, for coming on the show and giving us your perspective on all this. I really appreciate the work that you're doing, and I really highly recommend people to check out your blog, No More Fake News, and check on it regularly, because John does a lot of extraordinary articles from a lot of different perspectives on the same issue that very few people, journalists, are doing out there. And it's like, I call it reality therapy, you know. It's like getting in touch with, you know, the positive, truth-telling vision of virtue and valor for the victory of public health, you know, personal and planetary. So thank you, John.
Thank you so much. It's been always good to touch base and talk with you, too.
Well, I hope we can do it again before there's another
know,
virus psyop or whatever. Okay, well.
Yeah, let's plan on that.
Let's do that. And happy trails till we meet again, John. And for all your listeners, keep the faith, see the good, and make it so.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of cosmic love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change. Only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality, that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience. It will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.